Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, home of the Twins, we are keeping an eye on the trade news. Dan's been monitoring some of the reports that have been coming in. You know the Twins are sort of sellers because they pooped the bed over the last couple of series. It's Jason. Welcome to Drive Time. Good to have you with us here. We've got lots to talk about. But as we learn more about what's going on with the Twins and which players may be traded, the Twins hoping to play tonight, depending on the weather, right here at home. But Dan, Laura had a little bit of the information, some of the early reports that the sheriff was traded away.
He's riding out of town. Chris Paddock. Headed to the Detroit Tigers.
And you knew he was going to be a free agent.
Yep.
And that's sort of what they're unloading, right? These players who you know are you're going to get no value for because they'll go into the free agent market. So you're trying to get something.
So they're getting back a catcher slash first baseman from the Tigers who's 19 years old, has only played in rookie ball. That's the Florida Coast League. That's the Florida Coast League Twins.
Okay.
Playing the same spot that the Mighty Muscles play in, playing the same spot that the Twins do spring training in. He's the number 17 prospect in the Tigers farm system, according to Baseball America, number 12, according to the Athletics ranking system. So not even a top 10 prospect. Maybe not even a top 15 prospect in the Tigers system.
Top 20? Come on, Cook.
You're
getting the scraps.
Young kid.
You're taking a chance.
Yeah, they see maybe some potential there, and we'll see. You're talking about a kid who's...
Or maybe they don't care. This is just all they could get.
Well, and the other part of it, of course, is they don't have to pay Chris Paddock the salary the rest of the year.
Right.
There's money savings there, too. So this is a kid you won't see in the major leagues for at least 3 years.
All right. Dobnak, too, you said?
Yeah, Dobnak, according to Ken Rosenthal, was a throw-in on the deal as well. So, bye-bye to Randy.
All right. So, there you go. There will be more moves, perhaps.
The deadline isn't until Thursday. So, yeah, there's plenty more time for moves and plenty of other Twins players that are potentially free agents. So,
but that's most of what we expect. We talked to Dan Hayes on the show on Friday. And, if you're expecting, a Correa move or a Buxton move or even a Joe Ryan move, you're going to need more than the number 17 prospect.
And a team's farm system. Obviously Correa and Buxton both have no trade clauses, so that's very unlikely you would see anybody like them get dealt.
Right.
The guys like Joe Ryan and Yoan Duran and Griffin Jacks that are under control for a couple more years, you're probably going to have to get Godfather offers. You're probably going to have to get something serious before you see those guys move.
Yeah.
But anybody who's a free agent, and that includes Willie Castro, by the way, who's a very popular player.
Yep.
Those guys are all waiting to see if they're getting called into office here. So.
Yep. The Twins sort of made this easy by losing every series since the All-Star break.
Yeah, including, against the worst team in baseball and against the Nationals who were, struggling. So
the worst. Yeah.
You had a schedule that set up for you to have some success as a team to show management, hey, maybe we shouldn't be selling parts off, and the players utterly failed to show up. So
we're planning on doing our show from Target Field tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what the weather is for tonight's game.
Sure.
But there'll be a lot to talk about. For sure.
Dan Hayes from The Athletic will join us tomorrow, too, for sure. And we'll definitely be talking a lot about this deal and whatever other deals may be in the works.
Sounds good. All right. And we'll update you throughout the show as things develop. I wanted to start talking about what is your empty nester thing? Maybe it's your retirement thing. A lot of times those topics go hand in hand, because I think I've landed on mine after this weekend. So many of us, when you've got the kids around, all you're doing is driving from one thing to the next, right? And it's great. I'm not complaining about it. It's great. Being able to watch your kids do what make them happy is one of the greatest things about being a parent. Watching Sam play soccer, amazing. I've loved it. I've spent a lot of time on the sidelines of soccer fields, and I've loved it. Watching Seth be able to compete in speech and in debate was amazing for me. But all of this stuff sucks up a lot of your time. And this weekend, Alyssa and I were pretty much not home most of the weekend. It started on Thursday when I was up at Grandview Lodge. Saturday, we were at an outdoor concert at Treasure Island Resort and Casino. We went down to see Soul Asylum, which had the dual function of giving us like a little bit of sample of what I want to do when the kids are gone, which is go see more live music. That is something I haven't been able to do much of, and I'm all in. The dual function was it also absolutely took me back to high school, right? Like that, you think Runaway Train, which was a huge hit, and I didn't grow up here, so imagine, I can only imagine that the Soul Asylum Dave Perner fandom was like through the roof being here. But for me, it was such a nostalgic moment, and they still rock, like unbelievable. And then Sunday, we went to a patio where there was a band playing on the patio. And I'm like, this is, oh, when I was at Grandview, that was just, there was live music up there as well. What did you do to scratch that itch, to take up your time? Because I am 2.5 weeks away from a pretty major change in my life. And I know a lot of you guys have gone through it. All of the research says that to succeed in those empty nester years, to succeed in retirement, you need a thing. You can't just stop working. And when the kids leave, you can't just... Well, I guess you could. Your thing could be sitting on a couch watching TV all the time. I know a lot of people sort of in that age range end up struggling to reconnect with their partner. We all know those people who, when the kids leave, the marriage falls apart because the whole marriage was predicated on this idea of like everything's all about the kids. So my question to you is, what is your empty nester thing? Maybe you've gone through it. Maybe you've done it. Maybe you know what it is. Or if you're somebody who still has kids, do you have something that you wish you could do that you're maybe looking forward to? 651-461-9226. Alyssa and I have made a list. So we got a list, Dan, of cities we'd like to visit, and then a separate list of live music venue kind of bucket list.
Okay.
So like the top of the bucket list for me, Red Rocks. To go see a show at Red Rocks in Colorado. Just the... Now some of this is like, I love that John Tesh Round Ball Rock live performance from the Red
Rocks. Okay.
But the view of like the Rocky Mountains, those beautiful red rocks, everything sort of there, to me seems so magical. So that's on my bucket list, is something I want to do when the kids are gone. I think we're all just, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to another couple about this yesterday, and they said that live music was their deal as well, and they've sort of made the list of things they'd like to do. It's sort of overwhelming, though, right? You're like, okay, I could, like, how do I redefine myself? Am I going to be the gardening guy? Am I going to be the classic car tinkering guy? Like, what are you going to be Phil is in Woodbury on the CCO Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226. Hey, Phil.
Jay, how you doing, buddy?
I'm awesome. Back to back. You're back. You're back, buddy.
I'm back. Hey, we went to Rib Fest, and I'm back.
Oh, how was Rib Fest? That was down at Mystic Lake, right?
It was. It was a real rib. No, let me tell you, my talking about retirement and not doing nothing when you retire, you know?
Yeah.
So I have a buddy up north. I'm enabling him to be more lazy because I do so much for him. Mm. And then when I'm gone and I don't show up at his house, I'm like, I tell him, I go, you might have to do something for yourself. And he just doesn't get it.
He's got you to do it now. So why, I guess, huh?
You know what I tell people? He's more lazier than a dead man. Come on, guy.
It happens. It happens.
I know.
Really good. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it. Tons of text coming in. Let's break. You guys have so many great ideas. It's things that you could look forward to if you're, well, it's 3:20. Maybe you're picking up a kid right now at some sort of summer camp. Maybe you're driving your kid to some, I mean, what? It's already late July. It's probably, we're doing tryouts probably for spring's club sports and all of that nonsense. Empty nester. What's your empty nester thing? Oh, boy. You're going to want to see the last text. You're going to want to hear the last text that came in, too, in just a minute here on Drive Time. So many good texts about your empty nester thing. Lots of people enjoying the live stream on Facebook, WCCO Radio, and on YouTube at the WCCO Radio channel, where you should certainly be giving us a subscribe. UGEL is looking forward to the number of people in the house, not outnumbering the number of bathrooms he has. Yeah, that makes sense. Judy goes to Hawaii for a month during winter months. Cook, where do you want me to go? I am going to give you a little break from me in the winter. I can guarantee you that right now.
Let me tell you where I want you to go to Russia. You can't put it on a tee like that for me. It's too easy.
That's, you know, I just
come on
trying to serve up more of these little liner things. Yeah. The text that stopped me in my tracks from the 763, when we became empty nesters, we had naked night on Tuesdays.
I mean, there's so many questions. Like, why Tuesday? What is it about Tuesday?
Well, you got to make it special. If you have naked night every night, isn't as...
No, I get that it's not every night, but...
Why Tuesday?
Why Tuesday? I don't know.
It
seems more like a Friday or Saturday activity to me, but maybe that's the point, is to not do it in the traditional spot.
Now, another texter says, I think you build your friendships. I need a cabin close to the Lonesome Pine up on Bay Lake. This might be my friend Josh texting. Man, I tell you, when I was up north again this weekend, you're like, I've never been the cabin guy, mostly because I don't want another place to take care of necessarily, you know, says the guy who has. But I don't have to mow any lawn. I don't have to, you know, sure. What I mean? Like, I don't have to do any of that. Yeah. But having like a little shack on Bay Lake would be pretty fun.
Yeah.
Volunteering with something that holds interest, helping others creates feel good hormones, says a texter. I think that makes a lot of sense, especially like something that I could do with my wife. Like that would be pretty cool. Turned 60 this year, saw James Taylor in June at the Red Rock. Bucket list item. It was awesome. So Red Rocks, I didn't realize it was as intimate as it is. I think it only holds about 9,000 people. So like if you're watching on YouTube, I think people kind of get the bit of what Red Rocks is, right, Dan? Like, I'm not talking about something that people are like.
No, I would think most people have seen or are aware of Red Rocks. Google says it's about 9,500.
Yeah. That's smaller capacity than I guess I don't know why I thought it was so large, but like, you sort of have this idea that Red Rocks, maybe because
it's just such
reputation,
a face name. Yeah. That's just
yeah. Like, but just just stunning. Another texter has been enjoying exercising and seeing the state. We've done day hikes, finishing hiking the entire Superior hiking trail. We also bike different trails around Minnesota and run different races around the state.
That's something I could see you do, getting like a park pass and just hitting all the state parks. Because there's
I would love to do that.
Beautiful areas to hike and bike in the state parks, and it's stupid cheap to get a year.
Oh my gosh, yeah, and you can get the license plate, right? And it's like $30 or something, and now you're in. Jason, the big thing is to go out and plan vacations with your kids and make them have a great time if they enjoy being around you, of course. There's a bigger likelihood they're going to want to stay and live here in Minnesota and not move off, like a lot of our friends' kids have. That will be an interesting question for us, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, if the kids, with one kid going to college in New York and another in L.A., the number one question other parents ask me is, like, aren't you worried that they're going to move away? And right now, my answer is, I'm not worried that they're going to move away. I want them to go where they want to go and do what they want to do, and we'll come visit them. Now, when they start, if they start having kids, I bet that changes that, where you want to be a little closer to them.
But you also have the freedom to move around yourself, too, right? I mean, once you're retired anyway.
When I'm retired, I mean, if I start doing this show remotely a little more often, like, am I going to have to change my bet on people coming back to work in person? Or can I still be consistent yet hypocritical?
I think you've established your flexibility and fluidity when it comes to opinions to the point where you're just fine.
Texter says, worked out more, lost 40 pounds. Garden is immaculate. Two of four kids boomeranged back to pay off their loans. Yeah, we're not, this is why we're not selling our house. Because the idea of being an empty, I think they have another term for parents of college kids, because you're not quite an empty nester, because the kids come back for summer or for breaks or whatever. But so often people boomerang back. Another texter riding the Harley all over the country. Whoa. That's pretty cool. I feel like, as I get older, I do not need more potentially dangerous hobbies.
Seems reasonable.
I've talked before about how, like, I definitely have the emotional attachment to, like, the Harley lifestyle. Just the wind blowing your hair, the, like,
you certainly understand
total
it.
Freedom.
On an intellectual basis, you understand it. You also understand the risks inherent with it.
Yeah. I think I'm too, I've seen too many bad stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty fun. Something to look forward to. The live music this weekend definitely got me thinking about it, and I'm glad that you guys came through with so many good ideas, too. In just a minute, a bit of a bombshell investigative report in the Minnesota Star Tribune this weekend, breaking down the way that things, well, depending on your perspective, went wrong on the morning that we had a politically motivated assassin on the loose in the suburbs of the Twin Cities going to the homes of legislators. A gap in the time that law enforcement shot at Vance Belter and the time they went into Melissa Hortman's house. We'll talk with one of the Star Tribune reporters who broke that story this weekend in just a minute here on Drive Time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
There is no question that on the morning when an assassin was on the loose in Minnesota targeting Democratic elected officials, that law enforcement did some incredible things. Something like this has never happened in our state before. Having the wisdom to say, like, after the 911 call, K came from the Hoffman House and said that guy dressed up like a cop going after law enforcement. Local law enforcement agencies had the wisdom to say, like, oh, we should check on this person. We should check on that person. But there were mistakes, too, and many laid out in a very impressive investigative report in the Minnesota Star Tribune over the weekend. Jeff Day and Ryan Faircloth teamed up on this, and Ryan joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Ryan, great work. And for me, the biggest headline was the fact that Brooklyn Park Police, in between the time that they saw a man shoot and kill Mark Hortman, and the time they went into the house, it took more than an hour before they went in to check and see if someone was in there or if Melissa Hortman was okay.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we knew already that officers arrived on the scene, you know, right around, it was 3:35 a.m. that morning, just moments short. I mean, they watched the gunman, now identified as Vance Belter, shoot Mark Hortman in the doorway of the home, and then he runs inside, and muzzle flashes are seen after that. So they pull Mark Hortman from the doorway, and then they did not follow Belter in. They waited. It took them about an hour to enter the home. You know, I said they arrived on the scene at 3:35 a.m. They finally entered the home at 4:38 a.m. And what they were waiting for is they decided, instead of chasing Belter in, to deploy a drone to see if the gunman was still inside and see if Melissa Hortman was alive. And they ended up going in at 4:38 and removing Melissa's body at 4:42. And she was announced dead at the scene.
Now, we don't know if Melissa Hortman was instantly killed or if there perhaps was a chance to have life-saving kind of medical attention to her, right?
Right. We do not know that.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think the difficulty, and I empathize a little bit with you as a reporter, when you put out the facts, you have people grabbing this and trying to make whatever case they want. And we don't know that if the police had gone in there, if they would have had a chance to save Melissa Hortman's life. We also don't know, right? I mean, we don't know it either way.
Yeah, it's an open question of whether it would have helped or not.
What do police say as for why they waited so long? Is that police policy in their view? Because as an outsider, it feels like you got an active shooter. Aren't we chasing those guys?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the immediate kind of explanation from the Brooklyn Park police chief is that his officers thought that they shot Belter and that he was holed up inside, because when they watched Mark Hortman get shot in the doorway, they fired at Belter. So they thought that they had potentially shot him and he was huddled somewhere in the home. You know, the police chief, Mark Brulee, has also said his officers were following de-escalation tactics in the pursuit of Belter. But law enforcement sources we talked to said that this is not a de-escalation situation. It's an active shooter situation. And we looked at Brooklyn Park's policy, and their de-escalation language says it can only be used when delay will not, quote, compromise the safety of someone else. And their use of force policy says officers can use deadly force to prevent death or great bodily harm.
Well, nobody.
It's worth noting.
Yeah, nobody's going to be upset if literally no one is going to be upset at police chasing a guy who just shot a man in the door. I mean, some of this is like your policy is whatever your policy is, but no one's protesting Brooklyn Park Police if they're chasing a guy who just shot someone in the doorway. Give me a break.
Right, right. And it's worth noting Brooklyn Park Police, they released a statement Saturday after our story had published, saying their officers did not violate department policy and that they followed training and policy by not entering the home. I've asked Brooklyn Park Police to point me to that policy, and I have not gotten a response yet. They're basically in that news release they put out Saturday, the main thing they're disputing is whether or not they violated their department policy or not. They're saying that they followed policy by not entering the home for an hour.
Yeah, as we talk with Ryan Faircloth from the Minnesota Star Tribune, I think part of this to me is like, okay, we can go back and forth on policy. You know, it's still early, but just saying like, hey, in retrospect, we should have chased. And the other thing in retrospect that you talk about is New Hope. And I think that was questioned even in the early hours of that morning, because a New Hope police officer did encounter Vance Belter before the Hortmans were killed. Tell us what you learned about that interaction.
Sure. Yeah, well, let me start with what we already knew, just in case your listeners aren't up to speed on everything. So the New Hope officer went to go check on a local senator after Senator John Hoffman and his wife had been shot, but about an hour before Melissa Hortman and her husband were killed. And when she was approaching the home, she encountered what she thought was a police vehicle and a man inside it who has since been determined to be the actual gunman. And she tried to talk to the officer and have him roll down his window, and he stared straight ahead and didn't respond to her. So the New Hope officer left to go check on the senator she was there to check on, and when she returned, the gunman was gone. The new information we learned basically is that this officer's interaction with Belter wasn't reported to law enforcement agencies, other law enforcement agencies, in real time. Like, what's unclear is that the officer didn't report the interaction, or if the scanner traffic that night or that early morning was so heavy at the time that just a transmission didn't make it through. But New Hope has refused to answer questions about the officer's interaction with Belter.
Look, it's easy to second guess in the chaos, but it's also important to second guess and say, like, all right, the other thing that I think your piece brings out, and is also something we were discussing that Saturday morning, is the fact that because we have local police departments and then county police or county sheriff's agencies, the sharing of information here was not as crisp and clear as I think a lot of us would like to see. You reported a little bit about that, as far as, you know, there is no database of elected officials for local agencies to go through. Talk a little bit about some of the gaps in communication that you saw.
Yeah, and I note on the front end that, you know, it's worth just kind of a disclaimer that state legislators, we've got 201 of them, they're part-time, they're basically citizens, right?
Right.
So there's not exactly a system in place to, like, send out word to all of them immediately. That might be something that we see here in the future after this, but there wasn't that night. So when Hope Hoffman said in the 911 call after her parents were shot that the suspect was disguised as a cop and wearing a mask, you know, it still took, like, at least a few hours for most legislators to learn that not only that there was a threat, but that be careful if a guy dressed as a cop comes to your door. So that was a problem and a complaint of legislators, that they didn't know what to look for. They knew there was a threat, but that they didn't know what to look for. It also took a while for legislators who were on the list of targets that police recovered from Belter's vehicle to learn that they were on the list. The Department of Public Safety got that list around, I think they said, no later than 6:30 a.m., and they worked with federal authorities to share it with local police departments. But then, you know, as for when police departments actually communicated that information, the list of legislators, it took a while. And it took DPS, actually, about 5.5 hours from the time it first received this list to send it to the legislative caucuses, who would have direct lines to the lawmakers as well. So, you know, from start to finish, when the Hoffmans were shot around 2 a.m. to DPS sending the list to the legislative caucuses around noon, we're looking at like 10 hours of spotty communication.
Ryan Faircloth with the Minnesota Star Tribune with us. I just want to preempt, like, some of the texting that is coming our way as we discuss this. By raising these questions, you're also not discounting the fact that there were some very smart police officers along the way who on their own said, hey, we better go check on, you know, the New Hope officer that even went to go check on an elected official.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the Brooklyn Park officer who said, hey, we should go run by Melissa Hortman's house. You're not discounting some of the really smart, you know, today it's obvious, but in those moments in the early morning hours on a Saturday morning, it was really smart, some of this action that was going on.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think there was a lot of great, you know, a source that I spoke to recently put it well, where they said, you know, there was the night had a lot of great police work, and it also had some sloppy police work. And, it, you know, of course, it's easy to, like, go back and look at it all and second guess. But no, not in any way are we discounting it. But I think, you know, bringing these things up and the missteps and the shortcomings are important, because if you don't highlight them, then who's to say that they'll ever be confronted or acknowledged, right? So I think that's basically what we were trying to do, is just like, here's where there were some gaps.
Yeah.
And let's put these on the record so that people can try and close those gaps going forward. And I think the state is trying to, and Brooklyn Park even are trying to do that to some degree, talking about an after-action report. The legislative auditor's office, the nonpartisan watchdog investigator of state government in Minnesota, they're going to look at how communication was spread in the early morning to see if policies and procedures were followed. You know, there's also talk of potentially looking at coming up with an emergency alert system for legislators too, if this were to somehow happen again, that could ping their phones, maybe like an Amber Alert or something like that. So, you know, I think going back and looking at where things went wrong is important to make sure that it doesn't happen in the future.
Yeah, and a lot of this does seem potentially fixable or at least improvable. Hopefully this never happens again, but there could be some similar scenario, right? It doesn't have to be this exact scenario where you could take some of these lessons and improve your processes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that there's information to take going forward that could improve public safety in this sort of situation.
Really good reporting, good information, and I appreciate you taking some time to be with us. Ryan Faircloth from the Minnesota Star Tribune.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
So last night, I was sitting at a patio when the band started packing up. Dan, this is how you know it's time to head for the hills. You know what I mean?
Maybe you stayed too late.
I hope the band got paid for the whole gig, you know, because they certainly did not perform the whole time.
Oh, they were skedaddling because of the weather?
That's right.
All right.
The storm.
I thought you were just out till an obnoxious time and they were
No.
Trying to kick you out.
So I actually have a little sound of this if you want to hear it. It is. So here's the band. Just kind of doing their thing. You know? Good times in the North Loop. And then all of a sudden you look up and the skies are gray and black and you have that decision point. Do I stay or do I go? And that is the sound of hail slamming into the 11th floor at our apartment across the street. Are you a storm watcher? I was thinking about this today. Like, I am a storm watcher.
Yeah, I am too.
Oh, I love it. And I feel like I have to record it always.
That part I don't do.
Yeah, well, you know, I record most of my life.
That's true. I have an apartment that faces west, so usually that's the direction storms are coming from, and I'm up high enough that I can see it coming in. And yeah, we'll absolutely watch it track its way towards me.
I'm for sure a storm watcher. The Star Tribune had this picture, and I saw social media, and Jonathan notes on YouTube that at the X, they had to pause the Nate Bargatze show, the comedy show.
Yeah, he hadn't taken the stage yet, but
it was right in between the last opener and him.
Yep. Yep. And the building lost power. They were on their backup power system, so that's what they
And I saw some people have water like dripping on their seats.
Ooh, that's not good.
Which I'm like, save that video
for sure
for the next time the state is debating whether or not to spend money on fixing up the X or the Grand Casino Arena, whatever it's going to be called in a couple of months. I do love watching a storm.
Yeah, absolutely. From a safe spot.
From a safe spot. Now, today I was driving through Robbinsdale, and I did see a lot of trees down. So in Maple Grove, we didn't have any damage. Did you see anything in your...
No, nothing that... Like, the last round of storms we had a couple of trees go down nearby me, but not this one. We'll see what happens tonight.
Yeah, I was told on social media that... They were concerned that they might have a derecho tonight. Have you heard the weather people talking about this?
The derecho? Yeah.
No, I think it's a derecho.
We should brand it that way for sure.
It's like a really kind of like a strong gust of hot air, extreme instability, occasional heavy outbursts. It sounds about right.
That absolutely tracks, yes.
I think Brutus's dad on X is mixed up with 1990s hip-hop star Jason Derecho.
That happens.
He always sings his name before the song. Hopefully no... I mean, social media gets people whipped up about these storms.
A little bit.
We're going to get 100-mile-an-hour winds tonight. Like, well, maybe. I don't know.
There's a lot of weather nerds out there that love a good storm and get all excited for it.
Those of us normies who gets kind of end up in that timeline, you're like, what is happening? Are we really? And then you don't know if you should believe it or not. If it's not from Schaefer, I don't believe it.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Casino.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.